NXT. WWE, I mean, really missed the boat with him. Because he's, I mean, he's more of a killer in Impact, and it's very believable. I mean,
He has more of a snarl to him than a happy-go-lucky big guy kind of situation going on.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I thought he had a pretty good role. I think it's pretty clear that he was in the, we don't think you're that marketable / you're kind of getting old category. Like, I know he's not old, but to try and, you know, build a superstar out of, yeah, he's not your guy, I guess. I like him, but at least the way the WWE's philosophy has gone, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, well, the bad thing is they released all these guys, and Roman Reigns has no one to fight. And that's actually what I was going to say, is like, Jonah looks like he could have been a pretty suitable, you know, mid-part opponent. Because are you familiar with Jacob Fatu at all?
A little bit. Yeah, I've caught
he's a badass, dude.
Couple of his matches here and there, because he's been there for a few years at this point, correct?
Yeah, he re-signed, too, which I thought was a strange one. But who knows how? I don't know how old he is. I have to look that up.
Hey, you know, if you're enjoying what you're doing, why go elsewhere?
Well, depending on how much you can pay, too. So
yeah. I mean, I guess they have a decent enough deal that I would think they'd get some people to stick around. I suppose he could. I guess I'm not sure how big he is offhand.
I just had to shuffle up, but yeah, no. I mean, he's a convincing badass. He's cousins with the Usos. Rikishi's his uncle. He's 6'1", 280. Damn.
Big boy.
Yeah, but I mean, but he's like athletic as hell. And Solo Sikoa is starting to show that too, finally.
Oh.
The more he gets in the ring.
Yeah.
But the joke is all the Samoans are related somehow except for Samoa Joe.
Yes.
And it just still kills me with Sikoa that they're just not calling him one of the Usos.
Chant
just like him.
That chant kills me. Like every week, the crowd just keeps on chanting "Uso" during his matches, and it's just like, guys, you're not getting away from this one. Like it's one thing to try and do it to Bron Breakker because you can. If you want to keep his dad off TV.
yeah.
Obviously they haven't, but you know, you can kind of hide the lineage. Like you said, like he looks exactly like his brothers. You can't get away from it. So, that chant is going to persist, especially if they try to do that on the main roster. That would be some grade A silliness if they try to do that on the main roster.
Yeah. They'd have to keep him away from them. You know, he'd have to be on the Raw, they'd have to be on SmackDown. Like, that's the only way it would sort of work. Because, there is some credence to the fact people don't watch NXT and WWE.
Oh,
so I guess you could kind of get rid of it, but there'd probably be a lot of hand-wringing going, doesn't that guy kind of look like the Usos?
And there's usually still enough of an NXT crowd within the WWE crowd that an Uso chant would probably break out on the main roster, no matter which side he was on. So.
Yeah. But I don't even know what to talk about wrestling wise this week. Like, to me, all of the shows were just okay. Like, NXT no. wasn't good, but the opening match I thought was really good.
Oh.
So that kind of saved the show, except, like, I texted you, why the hell are people booing Cameron Grimes? I'm totally perplexed by that one. He hasn't done anything wrong.
He's fighting for his dad. That's booable, evidently. It's the weirdest of weird. It's up there with the because Chris made the argument on the other show about how Edge didn't deserve our booing. Like, he tries to claim that fans were booing him, but he's been getting pretty much the biggest bop out of anyone. And Cameron Grimes.
All right.
Is kind of in, you know, in a similar boat where he didn't do anything to become a heel. He just became a heel. Like, fans started booing him for, that one is a huge mystery, a bigger mystery than the Edge one. Yeah, obviously, the Edge one, they did it for.
Doesn't act like a heel at all, you know?
Oh,
he's still doing his catchphrases, trying to get people to cheer and all this, and it's like, they're just booing. I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? That crowd at the PC fucking sucks anyways. I can't tell half the time if they're plants that are made to cheer a certain way. But then they do something like that with Cameron Grimes, and I'm just like, okay.
They're
cheering loudly for Sequoia for some reason. Who, I mean, outside of the praise I was giving him for improving, who cares? I mean, right now, who cares about who he is? There's no character development for him. And all of a sudden, this crowd's all behind him. Like, what? So, there's just, NXT is just a hard show to watch now. Like, that Cora Jade stuff. With her and, not Lash Legend. My God, why am I forgetting her name? Nikita Lyon.
Oh, yeah.
And Nikita Lyon's coming out singing her own theme song, which I guess she's singing as well. That's actually her singing it. That's always kind of weird to me, because you don't see that very often. And then she stops and is like, yeah, my homegirl's coming down here. And Cora Jade goes, scoot, 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 eee! It's like, oh, God. Like, Darby Allin pulls off the skateboard because, one, he's a skater, and two, there's a long-ass ramp. Not to scoot, scoot, like, slide for, like, 2 feet and then get off of it and look awkward as well.
Yeah, it, Yeah, Darby Allin has it better.
Yeah,
and
because that's who he really is.
She still feels fabricated. You know,
Nikita Lyons doesn't. Natalia, I don't even know what Natalia is anymore.
She's
Her
the
face
boat.
Doesn't move, dude. That is. Oh God. Yeah. Well. It's scary how her face doesn't move.
She has enough plastic to be a boat now? Is that what you're saying?
Is it plastic or is it Botox? I mean, even with makeup on, you're going to have wrinkles. But makeup also won't prevent your cheeks from moving at all. It's weird.
She's
hard to look at now. I mean, just physically uncomfortable. That's what she appears to be.
Something does seem to have gone on there, and I don't know exactly what it is. But when you said that, I'm like, yeah, she. It almost feels like she has a Joker smile going on, where it's like a permagrin situation. Yeah. It's just like, but you're a heel. Why are you still smiling like that? Like, you weird psychotic Joker. Yeah.
Don't get me started with the smiling stuff. Ugh. Did you see that SmackDown debut for Raquel Rodriguez?
I think we talked about this last week, didn't we?
No, it wasn't me. I didn't notice it. And someone pointed it out, so I went back and watched.
Oh.
She's smiling like an idiot the entire time. Oh my God.
Maybe it was Chris that said that then.
It's so off-putting. I mean, watch any sport. They're not smiling. Like, the guy in the batter's box isn't smiling. The goalie's not smiling. They're like, oh, I love this competition. I love what I'm doing. I'm having something like, oh, God. Just let someone be a badass, please. Which is what she used to be. She wins her match. Yay! Smile with me. Like, oh, God. Oh. Like, a great example of, like, awkward smiling, of, like, why you don't. When Randy Orton smiles with stuff, it's weird.
He's one of the few
You know,
people that doesn't isn't required to smile.
yeah, but when he does, it's just like, hey, what are you doing, man?
Stop,
Like, cut it out. Now,
you're
she
scaring
smiles
me.
a lot in real life, but, I mean, Jesus Christ. I remember distinctly when he was a bad guy, and then he just turned face. And he was like, they told me to go out there and smile. I was like, I don't goddamn do this. And he just never did. They're like, yeah, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. But yeah, this. Yeah. But to go back to NXT real quick,
So,
I don't
yeah.
want to lose this point. That Lash Legend, Natalya, Nikita Lyons, Cora Jade match was shit. Lash Legend, Natalya is clearly telling Lash Legend what to do. I think at one time she even said, not body slam, backdrop or backbreaker. She says it clear as day to her. And Lash is just going, huh. So Natalya tags herself in, does something, tags Lash back in, and all of a sudden, there's the backbreaker.
Oh.
It was like, okay, I'm gonna give you a chance. And
Yeah, I remember thinking how awkward that was.
yeah.
I
It's like,
forgot about
you
it,
can't.
but yeah, that was awkward at the time.
All right, I'm trying to remember. Did you? There was one segment that was just cringy bad.
Oh.
It was not Pretty Deadly, because those are cringy bad, but. Like in a positive way, those guys fucking are, they drive me crazy. I laugh at them, but ugh, they're perfect. They don't ever change anything about them, and people will hate them. It's great, but what was the cringy one?
Did you like the segments with Wendy Chu? Were
No,
those
no.
cringy?
Well, one of them I did. But it had nothing to do with her. But there was one. They came back from the whatever segment, interview, whatever it was, and they didn't cut someone's mic. And it's, I rewound it a few times to make sure it wasn't me. But someone actually goes, "Oh, Jesus Christ!" Like that. Like, this is so bad. They actually muttered under their breath, "Jesus Christ." I'm like, wait, what? And I rewound it, and I told her, like, listen, am I hearing stuff? She's like, nope, there, yeah, they said it. I'm like, there we go. Even on the own show, they knew it sucked. I wish I just remember what it was. But no, anything with
Yeah.
Wendy Chu, I hate. That whole thing, that whole tanning booth thing was stupid. Like, Gigi and JC Jane going to the beach, for obvious reasons, was great.
Right.
But then. This dipshit's running around in a, was it a koala outfit? A shark outfit?
Whatever.
Yeah, I hate her. I hate her. It's stupid and it makes no sense. It's never been explained why this woman wears pajamas and drinks out of a cup. Like, is she special or something?
I
But then she
wouldn't.
talks, and she's just normal.
Yeah, she is pulling off some, I wouldn't say elaborate pranks, but at least pranks. She's not a complete child.
Yeah.
But she acts like a child at points.
It's, yeah, because she partnered up with Roxy. Or what's her name now?
Roxanne. Oh, God.
Right, Roxanne Perez.
Yeah.
And even Roxanne goes, shouldn't we be getting ready for the breakout tournament? Like, she's actually smart. But then, like, the Tartar she's running around with, which no one likes. Like, I forgot to mention this last time. When Gigi and JC won the titles again, I think it was the same time. And all of a sudden, Wendy Choo attacks them with silly string. And they're acting like they're being sprayed with acid. I was like, who cares about this stuff? Like, who's in back going, oh, yeah, silly string, that's a hilarious idea. No, it's not.
That was really bad. Like, it's one thing. It's bad to sell water. It's just like, but at least there's a shock value in that. There's not a shock value that is involved with getting hit with silly string that you see coming at you.
No. I mean, if someone nails it with water, yeah, it can actually sting your eyes. Like, oh, shit, I wasn't ready for this. But silly string? Like, this is dumb. This is child stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not over. Like, ugh.
No. And I mean, I don't even think it's going to help pull in children. Like, it's so childish that it's beyond the children's age that normally watch wrestling.
Yeah. So, it's just terrible. I don't care. There's no way around it. It's terrible. There's no redeeming quality to this thing. It was an Orange Cassidy knockoff at first, and now it's just awful. So, whatever.
I forgot about the double backward awkward segments that they had, because Chris and I talked extensively about the releases, but they had, the Diamond Mine interview segment with Julius and Brutus and Ivy Nile and Roddy. And, you know, of course, he's, what's his name? Malcolm Bivens is not brought up at all. And then the very next segment is Indy Hartwell looking at her ring finger and then Duke Hudson coming up to her. Like, they're like, yeah. Yep, we fired all these people and we're going to jam this segment back to back. And I'm like, this is curious timing, guys.
Yeah, it really was. At least that got addressed. In a way, it got addressed. She was looking at her fingers like, oh my god, he's gone. And he walked in, he's like, well, she dumped me too. Roddy's like, I'm the leader of Diamond Mine.
It seemed like something was up, honestly, with Roderick being more vocal about being a winning example and that kind of thing. So it kind of felt like something was up. I don't know if they knew they were getting rid of Bivens sometime soon or not.
Well, his contract was coming up, and he didn't want to resign.
Correct.
And then he also, apparently they offered him to be almost his manager, and he said no. But he wanted to leave. So, yeah, he's like, I'm out of here. So that's why he was on. I think Dakota Kai was the same way.
Yes.
He wasn't going to re-sign either, so.
Yeah. I guess they didn't address at all. But there's nothing to now that Raquel is on SmackDown. Kai was on NXT last; like, she can just be gone. There's nothing to address, really.
But just the idea that they didn't have a spot for Dakota Kai and on the main roster is idiotic to me, but whatever.
Yeah, oh.
I mean, they pull up Shotzi, they take her tag team partner, get rid of her, and then Shotzi disappears from TV because they have nothing for her. She comes back and submits to Charlotte in, what, 10 seconds or some dumb, or Ronda Rousey. Like, this is what we're doing? Like, someone who's marketable, has a unique look, is different, has a personality, everything that they want out of people, and they just don't use them. So, yeah, that all these women, like, I'm still waiting for Bayley to come back too.
They brought
Asuka back, but I'm guessing that'll be after the Charlotte Ronda match this weekend.
Yeah, the women's division needs as much help as it can get. You know, it really does. So adding Bayley back into whatever mix, even if it is, you know, for the first time in Lord only knows how long, Becky Lynch gets to have a B storyline without a championship on the line.
Yeah, and that's actually like a pickup from an old storyline, because remember before she won the title and became the two-time or the a double champ, she lost to Asuka clean. Then wins the Royal Rumble and then wins the title. So it's like, wait, what? And then they never really faced off again. And then Becky had to relinquish the title. So.
Yeah.
Which is still one of the dumbest things they've done.
Like, what?
I guess Becky Lynch maybe she didn't know she was pregnant, but Seth said that they were purposely trying to get pregnant. If that's the case, Becky should have dropped the title to Shayna Baszler. Wait, I know this is going way back, but.
You mean after they found out, I suppose?
No, she. Seth, on the Steve Austin show, the Broken Skull Sessions, said, yes, we were purposely trying to get her pregnant. He's like, sorry, Vince, but yeah, it wasn't an accident.
It was
totally planned. And it's like, well, if you know you're doing that stuff, then Becky should have been like, all right, I need to drop the title. Here's why. Instead of going this through this weird contrived thing, because it also would have helped, you know, kind of make Shayna Baszler. You know, kind of a goofy thought on my part, but.
And they have not wanted to make a lot of women. And that was a random headline that I saw, too, that I found interesting. I didn't read the argument, but it was there's something holding back Roman Reigns' all-time greatest run here. And it's kind of a similar, to me, it's a depth issue. Like, the WWE has just not pulled the trigger on any new stars in a while.
Yeah.
You know, everyone ends up getting some type of real break put on them, and it never seems like they get the big push again. Like, it's almost sad to say that one of the newest men to the main event scene is AJ Styles. I mean, I know that he's been around for like 5 years or something like that now.
Yeah, and that's like a return. Because he was the main event for a while. But yeah, but that goes back to releasing everybody. I mean, even if, like, I don't know why all of a sudden it was important to release all these people when you're trying to build your main guy up, unless they just don't want Roman wrestling that much. But the whole point of Karrion Kross, Killer Kross, even signing, he said, John Moxley told him, Roman's going to need somebody to work with. So it's like, why wouldn't Keith Lee could work with Roman? Jonah, for that matter. That's how we even got started on this. Could have worked with Roman. Even if it was like, okay, once they're done, peace out. Release them. But at least it would have given Roman or Brock Lesnar, for that matter. That Brock Lesnar-Keith Lee confrontation at Royal Rumble was awesome. That crowd was jacked for that. And Brock even sold for him. So the idea that, you know, oh, he's too old or he didn't know what he was doing, bullshit. It's narrow-sightedness on this. And I'm not saying Keith Lee's exactly burning it up in AEW, but that's just a matter of way too many people for the amount of TV time they have. But you could have at least done something to get some money out of these guys, and then, you know what, yeah, if you needed to, release them. I know it sounds kind of harsh, but...
Yeah. Yeah, there could have been a better end product for them before being released. Yeah, help the WWE on the way out.
Yeah. And, but no, it just... For a company has no vision like that, it's not a surprise. So, and they don't. They have, you know, they're... Roman's our guy. Brock's our guy, but he's not around anymore. So now it's just Roman. They're going to start a Drew McIntyre-Roman Reigns feud, which won't go anywhere. Not for Drew. And then, I guess Cody beats him at SummerSlam?
Yeah, Cody is the only one that has a chance currently to beat Roman Reigns within the WWE.
Yeah, because they even, but it was weird, they protected Seth Rollins. What, that was a Royal Rumble, wasn't it? With that goofy DQ finish or something?
Oh, against Roman?
Yeah. And there's been no follow-up to it.
Oh, was that a weird finish?
Yeah, it was a DQ or something.
Okay.
Yeah. And everyone's like, why did that happen? And you're like, oh, maybe they'll make a triple threat, or maybe they'll do this. Maybe no, they didn't do dick.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So
I remember the triple threat talk now.
Yeah, but whatever. But no, it's like there's no one at NXT. It's because Roman Reigns is the standard bearer for feuds, or he's the Hulk Hogan, he's the John Cena. He's the Austin, Rock, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
People coming up are going to be fed to him. I know he's a heel, but still. And there isn't one person in NXT that they can pull up and actually make that work. I can't name one person.
Well, I mean, the way that they have gone into NXT at this point... It's really their indie on TV at this point. Instead of being a super indie like Triple H was trying to make it, I mean, it is legitimately training on the job. And it's...
Yo, absolutely.
It's kind of weird that you can almost think about it like any other IWTV show, except it has way more money behind it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, definitely from a production standpoint, I would imagine that even if their contracts aren't as big as main roster, especially now, that they still have a little bit better of a budget to wardrobe themselves. So yeah, like it is a really expensive indie right now, with a couple of people left over that are kind of helping train people, I guess. I still don't know, because. Oh, and not to bounce back to the earlier, Io Shirai still is someone that has not been called to the main roster. She's got nothing to do in NXT, though.
Nothing. Like,
I don't know why she would be there at all.
Yeah, well, because they already have, we've covered this one.
Yeah.
They already have a Japanese wrestler up there.
Yep.
Can't have two. So,
yep, gonna confuse people if there's more than one Japanese person on the roster.
Yeah. They do look. They look. They look very similar. Jesus. But yeah, no. I expect her to be another one that's going to get cut, or she's just going to say, "I'm not renewing." I mean, to be completely honest, why would she? You're not getting paid that much in NXT. Not when you can probably go somewhere else and make way more. So, yeah, but I fully expect Io Shirai to be one of those that just is going to be on a chopping block or, you know, just something similar.
Yeah.
And I won't even be upset. I'll be like, all right, good. Now she can go do something with, like, substantial.
I think that was kind of a funny thing that maybe Chris and I didn't talk about the latest ones. I think that the WWE's had so many of them that it's kind of easy to be numb to the situation. But honestly, if these people want to have a job in wrestling, it's easy to stick around these days.
Yeah. I mean, the people with the longevity are the ones that have been around for a while. I was just about to mention R-Truth, but Vince loves that guy. Because he's been around forever.
Oh, well.
But any sort of longevity? Yeah, I don't know. I don't see it much anymore. So, but whatever. It's just asinine to complain about a company that's making billions of dollars. Or, I guess, billions. I don't know.
That's what the rumors say. That's what the company says.
Something that, like, creatively is just terrible. Every once in a while, they give us something. We're like, oh, wow, it's a rebound. And every once in a while, you go, oh, no, it wasn't. Like, no. Because, what was it, 2 weeks ago? The show wasn't too bad, actually. Raw? I think I watched almost the entire thing on Monday.
Which
is not something that usually happens.
Yeah, that was
during appreciation night.
Yeah, I think that was last week's Raw. It was really good for a change.
Yeah, but then I go, okay, it's really good, but how low is the bar now for really good? You know, was it just okay, but it's been so terrible that we're like, oh, that's really good.
No, that kept on moving. I thought it was just a good show. Honestly.
Yeah, well. Oh, so where are we at with the Ezekiel stuff, by the way? How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, it's kind of whatever, I guess. Like,
yeah, it's exactly what it is.
It makes him still a comedy act, and it doesn't really solve any problems.
No, it doesn't.
It gets him in a different outfit. It's kind of funny for now. How long does, you know, like, that's one where I'm like, this has a shelf life of one feud, basically.
Yeah, and his one feud is with Kevin Owens, essentially.
Yeah, which is wild. Like, you want to be having a feud with Kevin Owens. But I'm not sure that there's a way up for Ezekiel from this feud. Like, I don't see Kevin Owens really, like, in the long run losing to him.
I don't see how this feud even is going to work, because they're both supposed to be... Oh, I thought Ezekiel was supposed to be a bad guy, but I must be mistaken by now. So, I don't know. I'm getting a kick out of it right now. I just like how he constantly introduces himself as, "Hi, I'm Ezekiel, Elias' younger brother." And then, did you see the photo album he sent?
Oh, I feel like I saw "Hey, I met my brother Ezekiel at the airport" or something like that.
Well, so there was one they were in Paris in front of the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, I did not see that one.
And it's just clearly superimposed, and you're like, okay. So, I guess the camp factor is what's keeping me and making me laugh about it. Because it's really, really absurd. So...
Yeah.
But,
Oh. You know what? I was going to tie... we were just talking about longevity, because I guess I don't really care about that.
No.
One guy that has been persistent that that popped up on AEW this week was William Morrissey. You know, how long has it been since he's been off WWE TV at this point? Has to be a while, right?
I'm curious about that. That's...
Yeah, but anyway, that was one where I kind of feel like he got pulled down with the Enzo boat. It does seem
he
like
he had his own problems too, though.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really, I didn't remember hearing about those until later, to be honest with you, or at close to the time of their firing. Enzo's problems seemed a little more well documented.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, well, one, because of Enzo, because it's Enzo as well. But Big Kaz, Will Morrissey, left in, he was cut in 2018 in June. So it'll be 4 years this year.
Okay.
And that's when I think it was House of, let's see, House of Hardcore?
Oh, did you see him at a live event?
No. So okay. Basically, oh yeah, it was in 2018, 19. He was at a House of Hardcore, and he got rushed to the hospital.
Oh.
And that's when he had a seizure. And apparently, he was saying that it was just, you know, a heart thing, whatever else. But I guess he's, and I may be wrong, but I do not. I really don't think I am. He actually came clean. It was like, yeah, because I was withdrawing from alcohol.
Oh,
like, that's
yeah.
How bad his problems were. And that was one of the reasons he got released from WWE. Because he said, you know, I was just a mess. And he'd gotten himself back on track, but then the House of Hardcore thing just caught up to him. And ever since, though, I mean, he looks great.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's been great on Impact as well.
And they even, I was a little bit shocked. After last week's dismantling of Lance Archer, I don't know if I was expecting a quadruple powerbomb again this week. The fact, though, that Wardlow just gave him one and he's like, nah, I'm done with this. This fucker is entirely too big to do this multiple times, too.
See, that's what I was trying to figure out, what that decision was about. Because you're exactly right. Lance Archer took four. He's not small, though. I mean, Lance Archer looks much bigger than Kaz, even though he's not.
Yeah, I bet you Kaz is barely bigger than him. Because
yeah,
isn't Archer still like... Huh?
Well, Kaz is 7 foot tall.
Yeah,
oh,
isn't Archer like 6'8" or something like that? He is in silly talk territory too.
Yeah, he's not a small dude either.
Yeah,
So to go back to the powerbomb though. I was thinking was, is it like, hey, I'm an Impact guy. I can't be getting beat up in these AEW rings like this.
Oh,
was it just like, they didn't want to make an Impact guy look that good? You know, like, taking four power bombs and, like, kicking out after the third, or kicking after this, kind of makes you look a little bit, makes you look like a badass. But maybe they didn't want to do that for him. I don't know.
yeah, that would have been a little bit weird to have him kick out after two power bombs. Because, I mean, Wardlow didn't go for a pin after two last week, did he? I felt like he just did the four and then finally pinned him.
I thought he tried after the first one, and it didn't work.
Uh-oh.
And he only got like a one and a half or one count or something.
Okay. I could I don't remember one way or the other, to be honest, so and it was last week, so definitely not gonna remember it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was.
I don't know what I expected, but
it, one way or the other, it was it was an interesting call. You know, to only have him take the one power bomb and be done with it. Whether it was because of, you know, Impact saying, "Hey, he can't look that bad. We can't have this guy getting power bombed four times. Like he's one of our big bads."
Yeah, he was even on Impact tonight, and he was in a match too. So, I know Impact tapes their stuff too, which is why. But yeah, so I don't know. I guess I wanted. It didn't fit the narrative of, you know, Wardlow beating everyone's ass, you know. But I was kind of hoping for something a little bit more, especially after like the hype of bringing him in. And whatnot, I don't know. Maybe I just made all that up in my head.
That you didn't think
that... Built a matchup in my head instead of what they promised or what they said they were going to deliver.
Yeah, I guess I still expected something of an ass-kicking on Wardlow's part. I do think that Morrissey got in more than enough offense to not... I thought that in general he looked better than Lance Archer. Like I felt like they gave him more offense. It was still a pretty definitive loss. As you look at it, but I feel like Archer just kind of got it handed to him for the most part. On top of the big finish.
See, it's hard to tell sometimes because they go to commercial to do that picture in picture. Oh. I don't pay attention. I just don't. Like, it's in a tiny box.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
It's hard when, to me, the sound part always takes precedence. Even if I don't want to be watching that commercial, it's hard not to pay attention to what is being talked about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, it's funny. Before we turned this on, they had a some commercial on Access TV for, I don't know, was the guy's knee hurt? So he takes a leave or something. I don't know, some prescription thing.
Yeah.
And Elise goes, wait a minute. So he took medicine for his knee so he can take his dad to a cliff? I'm like, what? That's what the commercial is. He takes his dad out hiking, and it takes his dad's in a wheelchair. He just takes his dad to the edge of this cliff, and I'm like, well, you're already there. Go ahead and do it. You even took medicine, then sure you could get up there.
Yeah, so, that's an interesting reason to take your leave.
Yeah. Well, gotta make sure Pops can go look over the cliff. Like, okay, whatever. So.
Oh man, that is wild. I'm trying to think of what else happened this week, because yeah, nothing is sticking out in my brain. Other like that was one of those things from AEW that stuck out. Oh, you know, this was another one that stuck out to me. Adam Page randomly going heel on us. This is just not a WWE problem. There is some randomness going on in AEW too.
I was totally perplexed by this. Like, where did this come from? Did COVID make him angry? It just seemed like there was no warning, there's no crux or anything for the way he acted.
Yeah, like, I'm like, okay, like, on one hand, I understand this gets some heat behind a match that doesn't really have a whole lot of pull to it.
I'm with you. Like, this match does nothing for me because I can't see. I don't see CM Punk winning. Like, to me, the build hasn't been strong enough to, and, you know, have Punk take the title off of Paige.
Yeah, like, Punk came in and made a lot of noise. I'm forgetting that he's wrestling in on the card sometimes now.
He's always at the beginning of the show. Cause they want, like, because they want to keep the audience from the Big Bang Theory or whatever's on before, so they put their bigger stars up.
Yeah. Oh.
That's what Meltzer always says, and I'm like, okay, because the reruns of not a little Bang. What the fuck is that called?
Yeah, Big Bang Theory. You're right.
Apparently do. I've never seen it, man. I just get tongue tied with the name, but apparently do bigger ratings than AEW does.
Oh.
And I was like, really? Like, for 7:30 at night rerun? You know? That's weird.
Yeah, that was one where is that my, since I still talk to my former biology teacher, he's always like, oh, that's a geeky show. You don't watch that? And I'm like, no. I'm like, fuck off. Like, no, that's gross. I don't want to watch that thing.
Yeah, I tried to watch an episode of that, and I just went, why is everyone laughing at this? Like, it's clearly not my humor to begin with, but I'm also like, why is everyone laughing at this?
Yeah, so, I can catch some of the humor within it, but it's also like, nah, this isn't really that funny to me. I don't really get it. So yeah, that's kind of crazy that AEW does less than a 7:30 showing of the Big Bang Theory, and that is why they have big stars on. I don't know. Is there a lot of crossover between CM Punk fans and the Big Bang Theory?
I guess because he's probably the most known person on that roster besides, well, he's Bryan Danielson now, but Daniel Bryan.
Oh.
Because he was like a phenomenon for a while, so.
Yeah. He's definitely, to me, he's more well-known than CM Punk, without a doubt.
Yeah. Well,
how many CM people were doing that yes chant that for a couple of years, honestly?
Yeah, but CM Punk also had that flirtation with UFC and had that whole, you know, he was a news, whatever, press headlines for doing that.
Yeah, they're both pretty out there, I suppose. But anywho, yeah, I guess it makes sense. If you're going to try to keep the audience, those are two of the guys to kick off your show. And they have kicked off a lot of shows with both of them, honestly. But I think because I end up missing the top of the show sometimes, watching other programming and not necessarily going back to watch the beginnings of these shows, sometimes I miss out on CM Punk matches. And it makes it feel like he's not there.
Yeah, okay, so we got off the subject, but yeah, the Adam Page thing, by the way?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, he even said, like, yeah, this is going to be one of your Bret Hart masturbatory fantasies or something. This is going to be a fight, and I'm going to kick your ass. And I'm like, what happened?
I liked the fire about the promo. But the confusion was more of my problem. I'm like, I really don't get where this is coming from at all. Like, it was like one of those, did I miss a CM Punk promo that he's responding to here that it is making this more confusing? Yeah. The more I talk to people, though, the more it's just like, no, you didn't miss anything. It's confusing. I'm like, okay. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I like the fire. Like, I like what was said, if it made sense. But I guess he doesn't want, like, a mutual respect match. Maybe this is one of those things he's trying to get the best out of CM Punk. You know, that old gag?
Oh.
I mean, like, even yeah. Eddie Kingston did it to Chris Jericho. I don't want the sports entertainer Chris Jericho. I want the, fighter Chris Jericho or whatever else.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
The Tokyo Dome but, Jericho.
Yeah, exactly. You see, I guess that means he wanted the Painmaker.
Yeah, the Painmaker. Oh, so Jesus. Stupid.
But Japanese. But I was arguing with somebody about that, and they're like, the Painmaker thing's so dumb. I was like, but the Japanese eat it up.
Oh.
So he knows what he's doing. Like,
yeah, he was.
It's damn stupid to us, but.
Yeah, he was playing to the crowd. For sure,
yeah.
with that thing, because he didn't really bring that over here all that much. Like, I feel like he used it a little bit, but not as much as he did in Japan.
Did he actually bring paint? Yeah, he did bring the Painmaker over here for the with the. Oh no, not Joe Gacy, but it was GCW. Nick Gage.
Right? Oh yeah.
When they had that fucking. Dumb match that I had to sit and watch.
So. That was kind of a fun match and still makes me laugh that they had a Domino's commercial on when they were using a pizza cutter.
Which, I know, like, they're trying to say it wasn't on purpose, but I was like, come on, that's way too perfect. Sorry, it's way too perfect.
That makes your commercial way more noticeable, guys. Just chill out.
Exactly. But yeah.
Product
so,
placement, kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wardlow.
That is part of. I guess to stay on the CM Punk Adam Page thing. Yeah, Punk not being weirdly worthy for this, even though he's what lost one match, the one to MJF.
I believe that's it. Yeah.
Well,
the thing is, like, not being worthy is it not so much that he hasn't won, right? But the hype wasn't there for it. I know he's been hinting about wanting a title match, but then I go back and think, didn't he say when he came back that he wasn't there for titles, he wasn't there to be the top guy, he was there because he wanted to wrestle all this new talent?
Well,
and now, here we are, and he's wrestling for a title. Like, wait. You went against everything you said, bud. Like, that kind of makes you a hypocrite or a liar.
He did, and he didn't. Like, in some ways, both with him and Bryan Danielson, they almost burnt through too many opponents to start with. You know, I know that they were lower grade matches sometimes, but didn't both of them have matches with, like, a number of people from the Dark Order?
No, Daniel Bryan did for sure.
Okay, maybe Punk didn't, but I feel like Punk chewed...
Bryan Danielson, sorry.
Yeah, Bryan Danielson definitely did. I feel like Punk had some matches, like when he first came over, he had a handful of TV matches, and I just kind of felt like he burnt through some opponents then, just to have a weekly match when he first moved over. Because didn't he open up, you know, again, trying to keep the crowd type of thing, didn't he open up the first Rampage against... Was it Daniel Garcia or someone like that?
Yes, because he wanted to take on some of the best new talent. Yes.
Yeah, so he did do that a little bit, but that kind of feels like it's in the past now. And he hasn't really, Punk hasn't to me gotten a real like push to the championship. He's gotten, like, yeah, he beat Darby Allin, he beat MJF in the long run. He's had some big wins, but it doesn't feel like a built-up momentum that a challenger normally has. At least that's the way that it feels on my end. You can put CM Punk in any championship match that you want to, but they're making this feel like it's more earned than it feels to me currently. Is probably the best way to word
it. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that, though, because...
And again, like...
It is what it is now, but...
Yeah, the Adam Page thing helps kind of give this feud something. But it feels like it needed to be preceded by CM Punk giving him a hard time or kind of, you know, something to elicit this response rather than it coming out of the blue.
Yes. Well, he had been teasing for a while, so I can't say, I wouldn't say it came out of the blue, but it just doesn't seem like the right time. I don't know. I mean, like I was going to say, it's too late. The match is happening anyways. They got a few more weeks to build it up.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll change our mind, but yeah. I don't know. The rest of Dynamite, I'm trying to think. Bobby Fish and Jeff Hardy, can we please just hold off on that for a sec? Boy. Okay. Dante Martin and Rey Fénix was fun to watch. I got tired of all the choreographed bullshit they did.
Yeah.
Also,
that's one of those
Dante
things.
Dante Martin's not going to be able to walk by the time he's 25.
Yeah, I saw that as something of a criticism for AEW that there are too many choreographed spots and... A, I think Rey Fénix matches tend to go in that department. His athleticism helps make up for some of that stuff, and the same can be said of Dante Martin.
Yeah.
But they had multiple times where they were standing on the top rope, and you could just tell that they're just like, okay, we're trying not to kill each other.
Yes.
Before we execute this move. And, yeah, I'm okay with incorporating high flying into the match, but it makes more sense when you have a downed opponent or a dazed opponent. When it looks like both of you have the same amount of energy and you're both perched on the top rope, it's that... You know, that buy-in that you have as a wrestling fan is a little tough to make up.
Now, I mean, there were some cool spots from those. Like
yeah.
When they did, was that supposed to be a Spanish fly? Or what the hell was that where they both landed on their feet?
Oh, yeah.
That was really impressive as a gymnastics move.
Yes.
But in the course of a wrestling match, it's stupid.
Yeah.
And that's always my problem with Rey Fénix matches. And it's like, Dante Martin shouldn't be taking cues from him. And I feel bad for his brother. Poor kid comes back after a year and a half, and then hurts himself again. Like, oh, God, man.
Because is it the other ACL this time, or did he re-injure the same ACL?
Supposedly it's not a tear. I don't know if it's the same one or not, but
It's,
there's no surgery. It's just hurt. But it's still like, damn, the guy's only 22, and Darius is 21.
That's rough to be getting injured that close together. Like, you always think of anyone being young being indestructible, but it's not always the case.
Yeah, wait, so before we get to the rest of it, Jericho Santana was fine, whatever. The main event...
That whole feud is just going to be awkward. When you have a 5-on-3 situation, it doesn't make it much of a fight, ever.
I just, whatever. I just want to, I don't want to lose the Darius Martin thing. So, oh, whatever to sure. that. The Ring of Honor World Women's Championship, the whole setup was stupid anyways. And then it just became obvious, like, I was hoping that they would have pulled a fast one and actually had Deonna Purrazzo win.
Oh.
And you know I like Mercedes Martinez a lot, but it was just predictable. That was my big problem with that. I was just waiting for the end for Mercedes to win. Lo and behold, there she does. The end. Show goes off the air. It would have been far more interesting if she would have lost. And then go, wait a second. Like, the non-AEW contracted wrestler has the Ring of Honor title? Like, I didn't see that coming. That's my only problem with it. The crowd didn't care at all about the match.
Oh. That was rough, man. They were not getting anything. Because they announced it last week, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So there was some proper build-up to this. It's hard to care about a product that kind of, sort of, still doesn't really exist. That's the biggest problem, because even I feel like what's his name is even in a, the whole Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, whatever the big Indian guy's name is that used to play basketball. At least
yeah,
I'm
that guy was calling that.
Yeah, at least I'm assuming that he's Indian, but. Yeah, like, it's just, like, I don't care about the... Like, I know that Jay Lethal signed with them, but at the same time, I'm like, when you're trying to incorporate this much ROH stuff, there needs to be some type of a partitioning off of these things. Like, it just feels like those guys are begging for spots that they don't really have to give out.
They need to figure. Well, I know they're starting a new. There's gonna be another new AEW TV show. So it's like, okay, well, is Ring of Honor gonna be incorporated into that? Is Ring of Honor gonna get its own show? Because, I mean, you've got FTR, the Ring of Honor Tag Champs, and the AAA Champs, and it's like, okay, if I'm watching an AEW show, I'm like, well, if these guys are still gonna do all this other stuff. Why aren't they the AEW tag champs? Which, I thought that's where that was going. And now we're getting something different. You know? Like, it's, they're pushing the Red Dragon thing still. When it seemed logical to FTR, because I mean, the way the run they're on, I would have just assumed that's where they were going with it. But, nope. Not at all. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm
it's
not
sure. The fact is, like, you're defending the Ring of Honor titles more than you are the AEW titles on your own show.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's been a pretty crazy run here. The ladies have been main eventing a lot of shows here within the last 7 days.
Yeah.
I
have no problem with that, too.
And I kept on joking on Twitter. The one thing that was killing me about this match is that I don't know how many times Excalibur talked about, oh, if this match goes past 10 o'clock, we'll stick with it. I'm like, you motherfuckers are not going overtime for this match.
Yeah. 9:58, pinfall, match is over. And you're like,
Yeah.
Just one time, they need to surprise us.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing that hurts is I feel like I'm to that point where they've been selling this whole overrun thing for a while now. They're like, oh, we're going to stick with this. Everything ends up, you know, pinfall, 10:59. We get to run off whatever we need to run off, and then off air.
Yeah. whenever you see the referee consistently leaning in, you know. Well, even NXT had a half hour runoff scheduled this week.
Oh.
Yeah. Because the way it ended, with the druids and all that bullshit.
Oh. I did. Well, I saw that as a digital exclusive on YouTube.
Yeah, I was like, okay, cause they had an overrun set up. So I was like, why isn't that just the overrun? But nope.
Yeah, it's not like that. That took, what, all of maybe 5 minutes?
Yeah, but I'm also like, do I really want to see this damn
Casey
front breaker thing stretch out?
No.
So.
No, but we're definitely going to get it stretched out. And now...
Yeah, it's not exactly like Joe Gacy's fault, but it's like the character doesn't make any sense anymore, so whatever.
He's turned into The Undertaker while not being nearly his size, nor as scary as The Undertaker.
Yeah, they just replaced Bray Wyatt with Joe Gacy. It's essentially the same thing.
Yeah, the whole preacher smarmy thing was a better take on on his character. But,
yeah, and before I forget, so I want to back up to Darius Martin and that, and we were talking about being young and indestructible and all this stuff, right? All he needs to do is watch his own goddamn television program he's on, because there's a guy named Jeff Hardy who's joined his brother in the I can't fucking move department. We were just talking about Ray Phoenix setting up all his stuff, being, too choreographed. Yeah. Oh my god. That Bobby Fish Jeff Hardy match was terrible. Did you watch it? Because I know it was the first match. So
I did not watch it. I guess I felt like his matches to end his WWE run were okay. The only thing that I ever noticed was the fact that, that Swanton. That, to me, that was always the tell. I mean, he is landing directly on people. And it's just like, dude, like...
He even said he can't do it the old way, so people just have to take the brunt of it. And it's like, that doesn't seem fair.
That's like, you need to get a new finisher. You need to use the twist of fate. It is your finisher. I'm sorry, pal.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
So, yeah, I didn't see the Bobby Fish match. It seems like a bad clash of styles. I don't know how good of a... Like, Bobby Fish is a good tag team wrestler. I haven't really seen him succeed anywhere as a singles wrestler. Even Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So, I'm not quite sure what kind of quality we're ever going to get out of him. In that type of environment.
Yeah, and that being said, though, he's in the ring with a guy who,
can't move.
Jeff went to run the ropes. He got a running start and then stepped backwards into the ropes. Like, why'd you get a running start? To go backwards. Like, what? And then when he bounces on the ropes, he's going so slow. It's like a practice drill or something.
Oh.
So, yeah, I Matt can't move. Jeff can't move now. He's struggling getting up the ropes. I don't know if it's his cardio, if he's just old, beat up.
Like he's in the department, to go with the football analogy. Big Ben Roethlisberger is like a solid 5 years younger than Tom Brady. But his body was like, fuck you, man. I am done. I mean, Ben's out, way more punishment
than Tom. Too,
and that's exactly what I'm headed towards. Both Jeff and Matt took a ton of punishment early in their careers, and I guess to me it wasn't. When you mentioned that, I'm like, well, I guess I'm not surprised that his matches look kind of bad at this point. Your body can only put up with so much. Like, I feel like we've talked about the random bump card here and there. They filled up a bump card plus, like, that three other wrestlers' bump cards. Yep. So, yeah. Like you said, Darius Martin, because they're more choreographed, I'm not sure that they're getting the impact that Jeff did, since he did a lot of stunts, and they're not really, to me, doing the same type of stunts that Jeff was doing. Yeah. Jeff's, a lot of them involve falling through tables and whatnot, and it's going to catch up to you, and it has evidently caught up to him. Well, yeah.
It's embarrassing. Get to the table with Sting. That's where the Hardys are now. It's like, you can't even... I'm not even goofing on... like, Jeff or Matt's physical, like, nature now. They've been so beat up, it's got to be impossible to keep up your appearance. So it's like, Matt is overweight now. Maybe he's losing weight again, I don't know. But that's not going to help you move around the ring. It's not going to help you be slick. Jeff's getting thick in the middle, too. And by the way, yeah, because they're getting older. So...
yeah, they're just marginally younger than us.
Yeah.
And,
I'll say I'm in better shape than the two of them are. But I also didn't take all the crazy, ridiculous bumps, plus all the,
drugs.
Outside the ring stuff, yeah.
Yeah. All the alcohol and drugs they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that stuff catches up to you, too, at some juncture.
Yes, it does.
Play it safe when you're a wrestler, kids. There's no reason to be doing all that stuff.
Yeah, and that needs to be the cautionary tale. And I would hope that Matt and Jeff are talking to him like, hey, listen, I know you can do all this stuff now, but if you learn to wrestle... if you learn to tell that story, which I sound like a WWE guy, but if you learn to do that, then when you pull these moves out, it's much more effective. It'll take you further. And it will save you.
Yeah. But, gluttony is a real problem on AEW.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the opposite. Sometimes the WWE keeps the cap on it entirely too much, and AEW does the complete opposite, where it's just like, oh no, let it gush like a geyser all the time. And it's just like, that isn't a good option either, guys. And I don't even just mean the bleeding. I just mean some of these big moves. It's just like, I'm getting a little immune to these people. Like, when you have them on all 3 hours of your shows, it gets to be a little much.
Well, AEW's big thing now is everyone does a cutter and everyone does a ball shot. And it's like, oh God, I mean, gotta come up with something a little more creative. But, like, the cutter is the big thing. The cutter's like the stunner's actually been pretty protective. Pretty protected, actually. But, the powerbomb, remember? That was Sid's move. The jackknife. Kevin Nash's Diesel's move. Now everyone does powerbomb. Now everyone does super kicks. Now everyone does this, and it's like, Jesus Christ, man. You're going to run out of stuff to do. By taking away that, like, the, you know.
Yeah.
The finality of these moves. But whatever. I mean, it's gotta learn somehow. So.
Oh, man. Well, do you want to talk some beer, Mr. Mays?
Yeah, I had a red clay cider. I haven't drank in 2 weeks since the last show, actually. So, no, I did not drink last week. That's right, because I'm telling you that. Cran eye for the orange guy. Cran beer orange cider. It's really good. Can't get it anymore, so I'm obviously drinking an older one. But still tasted good, so I don't care. So.
This is one of the beverages I got from my... brother-in-law shipped from Charlton, Massachusetts, Treehouse Brewing. This American IPA is called Ambrosia. And gotta admit, realizing that this is just a straight-up IPA, it's a very, very good IPA. I have found out that I'm not much of a straight IPA guy. This is quite delicious, though. Yeah, these guys are slowly getting to be one of maybe I need to go to their brewery and just sit down for a while. Similar to Three Floyds outside in Munster, Indiana, just outside of Chicago. Those guys, I don't know what it is. They just seem to crush every beer that comes out. They're not like, oh,
did
no,
you,
we're going to...
Did gonna you mean Muncie? Did you mean Muncie, Indiana?
No.
It's really called Munster?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Like the cheese.
I was like, what?
Yep.
That was different. That's
yeah.
Sure. So.
Yeah, Three Floyds is fantastic. I still haven't had their... I'm thinking about going up for a Dark Lord Day at one of these times. They're one of those places that, you know, they have some weird bottle sale, and the bottles are going for some absurd amount of money. I feel like I need to do it once as a craft beer guy. And plus, oh my God, yeah. I stopped in there after All or Nothing. Yeah, it was All or Nothing. Yeah, the first one. That was in Chicago there. On my way back here to Columbus, I stopped at Three Floyds. Because I had some of their beers on tap here and at various stores. And I had really liked it, so I'm like, oh, I got to stop in. A, the food in their tap room was fantastic. And B, they had even more very, very, very good beers. Like, when your floor for a beer is... like a 4, I'm impressed all the time. And Treehouse Brewing, to kind of get back to this one, almost every beer that I've had, and they've all come from my brother-in-law, are very good. Like, it's kind of surprising how good that they are all consistently. Like, I just don't feel like there are that many breweries that kill it this much. So, yeah. I will be very complimentary of a brewery outside of the Columbus area. So, yeah. Belltime Beer from at DeFrango 11 and at Granny Mays. This is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.